tables there. We'll have the case of Garcia against Huber. Now calling case 09CA1660. Deal, you may proceed.
Good morning, may it please the court. Deneen Deal, registration number 21334, appearing for on behalf of Mr. Garcia. Just as a little preliminary matter, this case was briefed in oral argument. We requested that before the Wiesner v. Huber decision came out on March 4th, 2010, which is a case that we believe is right on point with this one. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't even have requested oral argument in this case. But
Ms. Bowman, you're familiar with that case?
Yes.
Thank you.
We have three cases. There's the ARP case, the Wiesner case, and this case that all have the same issue, which is basically, does the presumption of accuracy apply to the persistent drunk driver? And which means the 0.17 or greater, where the defendant then needs to get an interlock and go through some extra classes in that. In the Wiesner case, the court did hold that the presumption of accuracy, and it's a published opinion, denoted in former section 42.126.9c2, which is now codified with amendments at 42.126.8e2, did not apply to persistent drunk driver determinations.
Wasn't that statute different than the one in front of
yes,
us?
Yes, it was. There's a change, and the change is mainly movement in the statute. In the new statute, or the one that we're currently under, it's now under 8, there is phrase persistent drunk driver does not appear in that subsection 2, or for that matter anywhere in paragraph 8. However, when paragraph 8 is the one that refers to the presumption of accuracy, that's the 0.096. Persistent drunk driver does appear in 42.2.126.3a, which was effective at this time until January 1st, 2009, when they removed that. It also appears in 126.4d2, and the title of that one is Multiple Restraints and Conditions on Driving.
The reference with regard to the statute that was in effect until January 1, 09?
January 1, 09 is the reference to it, is that?
Yes.
It's under 42.2.126, it says there's a version that's like CRS does it. The version of this paragraph A is effective on January 1st, 2009, and they have a, it's 3A2A, and then after the one that's effective on January 1st, 2009, just it's entitled excess BAC 0.08, but it doesn't say revocation of license as it did prior.
Wasn't the statute in Wiesner, though, didn't it specifically deal to this issue, the issue of which had been the revocation of the license? That had been the issue in the statute, whereas this particular language about solely this issue is no longer in the statute?
That's correct. Yeah, the sole issue and the issue are no longer.
And doesn't that have an effect? Isn't there presumably a change in the law?
It's our position that there's still no change in the law, because even under the statute that Garcia is under, their persistent drunk driver is nowhere tied in with the presumption of accuracy. Presumption of accuracy is referred to in what I'll call subsection 2. Persistent drunk driver is defined in its definition. There's no reference to presumption of accuracy. And the other two places that it appears in 126, which is 4D2A, which is called revocation of a license, excess BAC, and in, I'm sorry, that's 3, and then 4D2, 4 is called multiple restraints and conditions of driving privileges. So it's still our position that even though they've moved the statute and removed those, that it still does not apply to persistent drunk drivers.
But counsel, in the Wisner decision, she didn't just emphasize the fact that the statute as it then read referred to the singular issue, and this statute now is plural. So there's more than one issue involved.
Yes, I agree.
And what's the other issue then, if it's not the one we're facing?
Well, it's still our position that the legislature did not intend for that to apply to persistent drunk drivers. If you look back over the legislative history and we'll call the margin of error, which they did discuss also in Wisner, that the presumption now is 0.096, and that's always been 20%, because we have a 0.08 now, 20% is 0.096. When it was at 0.1, it was 0.12 was the presumption of accuracy. And the Wisner case also pointed out that because the persistent drunk driver is 0.17, that amount of 0.096 to 0.17 is a tremendous amount of difference in there. And they believed in that court that the margin of accuracy was another reason why it does not apply to the persistent drunk driver.
And the premise about the 20% margin of accuracy, one, it seems might be inferred by what the statutes have said, vis-a-vis 0.08 and 0.096. Is there anything else that supports that was the reasoning of the legislature?
Well, the Schottky case was the one that first kind of started this thing. And also, if you look at currently now, if a respondent decides to take a breath test instead of a blood test, you don't get a second sample on the breath test. They do the test 2 minutes apart. And if those tests are not accurate, well, then it's about 20%, 0.02, they have to start the whole process over and do another test. And also, they take the two tests, and whichever one is lower, the machine automatically uses that test. So that's another reason where I think they, just because of the procedures that the Department of Health set forth, that there was no intent to apply this to the persistent drunk driver statute.
The nature of this presumption, is it a rebuttable presumption?
It is a rebuttable presumption.
So it is a rebuttable presumption. Okay, so then the argument that you made, I thought in your briefs, was that, well, if this 0.096 presumption applied to 0.17, it would never be challengeable by a second test conducted by the, I call them defense, by the individual. Seems to me is that if it's a rebuttable presumption, it's always challengeable by that second test. Regardless, you've got a presumption, you've got a second test. Which one is more reliable, Judge? If it's a presumption,
right.
if it's a rebuttable presumption.
I guess, however, what the DMV has been doing is that they always take the state's test. So I guess it's, and in this case, we did provide, the independent laboratory does two tests. We have both tests. They do an average of them. We had an affidavit from the independent laboratory. But what the DMV has said is that,
is the DMV treated as an irrebuttable presumption?
Yes, I would say that they definitely are treated.
And they did in this case? Is that your position? They did in this case?
Yes. Actually, the DMV didn't consider the reliability of either test. They just said because of the presumption of accuracy, and it's over, you know, 0.096 or over, they didn't find that the state's test was more accurate than the other test, the same way as they did in Wiesner. They just said it's over 0.096, that's, you know.
Counsel, is the statutory presumption evidence itself, or does it disappear when controverting evidence is introduced?
Is it? I'm sorry, would you repeat that, please?
Any presumptions in the law, whether by common law or statute, are not of evidentiary value themselves. It is simply a circumstance that exists in the absence of other evidence. But when other controverting evidence is introduced, the presumption disappears, and at that point, it is for the fact finder to be determined based upon the evidence, without the benefit of any presumption. This is a fairly, I won't say common, but it is a circumstance that is true of a number of presumptions.
Right, yeah.
There's been no case, presumably, talking about whether this presumption disappears when evidence, controverting evidence is introduced or not.
I guess, practically, it doesn't. I mean, the way
it's been treated as of evidentiary value.
Yes.
By the hearing officers.
Has it been treated as?
I say it has been, apparently.
Yeah. Well, my understanding now from talking to other practitioners after Wiesner, it's, you know, there's a different position from the DMV.
I have one very simple question, too, and that is the legislative history of the amendment of any help with respect to this issue? Or does it say anything at all about it?
I can't find anything at all about, you know, why they did it, and I've looked and looked, and I can't. It's just, I think it came about as because of Schottky, and I notice every time they rewrite the bill, they use that 20%, so I assume there's got to be some reason in there. Going back to another analogy is that if a client takes a breath test and there's two, and one of them say is 0.17 and the other one, and I just saw one of these the other day, is 0.169, the automatically the intoxilizer test says 0.169, so they never get to the 0.17. So this seems to be an inconsistency then, you know, with these not taking the lower ones too. So
I reserve your remaining time.
Thank you.
Yes.
May it please the court, my name is Anna Christina Bowman, Assistant Attorney General, registration number 25970, representing the Appellee Colorado Department of Revenue. Opposing counsel cited the Wiesner versus Department of Revenue case, and the department argues that that case is distinguishable from this incident case because that case relied on 2007 law, which you have alluded to. It was just not a movement. The recodification of 42.2.126 was just not a movement in the statutes. The former statute 2007, which referenced 9C1 and 9C2, was the operative statute when Wiesner was decided, and Wiesner was arrested in March 7, 2008. This former law restricted the application of the presumption of accuracy to this paragraph C, and paragraph C refers to the sole issue, the issue being whether a driver drove with a BAC of 0.08 or more. The law as now written does not restrict the application of the presumption to paragraph C. It was this, the old language, the paragraph C was the language upon which the Wiesner panel relied in holding that the presumption did not apply to persistent drunk driver determinations.
Ms. Bowen, if we accept your argument as to the distinction with Wiesner,
yes,
And we conclude that the presumption does apply here. One, is it rebuttable or unrebuttable? And two, how did the hearing officer treat?
First of all, it is a statutory presumption, and it's a rebuttable presumption, but Garcia, in this case, failed to rebut that presumption. And the hearing officer applied the presumption because of the hearing officer properly applied that the presumption of accuracy of law enforcement tests because the BAC was over 0.096.
Okay, then the presumption applies. The test is 1.17, but we have contrary evidence. It's 1.62 or 1.63. What did the hearing officer do with this now? When you say they applied the presumption, does that mean that they did not consider the reliability of this second set of tests?
As opposing counsel pointed out, the hearing officer did not consider the reliability of either test, but as the Wiesner opinion pointed out, the proper remedy was to remand it to the department for further proceedings to make factual findings to determine the persistent drunk driving determination.
Counsel, I don't understand your statement that the presumption in this case was not rebutted. Why wasn't it rebutted by the testimony of the other test?
There was testimony accepted about the chain of custody, but I believe that the testimony was directed to the revocation determination. There was testimony, the trooper was there, the arresting officer was there, but Garcia did not.
Let's assume, as I think the record establishes, probably without dispute, that the conditions for the existence of the presumption were established. Okay, are you saying that at that point it can't be rebutted?
It could be rebutted because there are a lot of additional factors that should be considered by the hearing officer. The length of time between the blood draw, and the analysis.
Let's assume that all those conditions are met. Are you saying at that point the presumption is irrebuttable?
No. What I'm trying to say is it's a statutory presumption that has to be rebutted by the driver. And in this case,
you mean opposing expert testimony can't rebut expert testimony presented by the state?
I don't know, but in this case, there was no expert testimony presented by Garcia.
Didn't the hearing officer accept the independent laboratory tests as evidence?
Yes, the hearing officer accepted or considered both tests, but then because of the hearing officer relied on the presumption, the hearing officer applied
the proper
presumption.
Why is that proper if you have two inconsistent tests, if it's rebuttable?
If it's rebuttable, then the hearing officer should consider testimony to consider which test is more reliable, which test is more accurate. So the proper remedy in this case, the department argues, is for the court to remand the case to the department. So there will be a proper determination. I mean, I'm jumping forward. If the court is not persuaded by our arguments that the presumption applies, then the proper remedy would be to remand it to the department so a hearing officer could look at the facts and consider testimony, consider more evidence to determine which test is more reliable.
But as I understand your argument, if we are persuaded by your argument that the presumption does apply, your position is a remand is still necessary to determine which of the tests was more reliable.
No, I just want to clarify, if you're persuaded that the presumption applies, then then the order of the district court should be affirmed.
Why?
But if you're...
Why?
Because the presumption applies.
Because the presumption is irrebuttable.
It was the BAC of .174, which met the cutoff point of the persistent drunk driver definition.
Which means it was an irrebuttable presumption, could not be challenged by opposing evidence. Is that your position?
Yes. If you're frustrated by our arguments, then it's not, yeah.
So that whatever, however many tests there might be, that would be inconsistent with the state test controls, period.
Yes, if the presumption applies.
Well, then it's an irrebuttable presumption, isn't it?
Yes.
Ms. Bowman, if I understand correctly, your primary position is that the presumption controls, it's not rebuttable. If we were to conclude that the presumption is rebuttable, you argued earlier that there was no rebuttal evidence, or at least I understood, there was no rebuttal evidence presented. And it would appear that there were two other tests presented. And so why would those not be rebuttal evidence regarding the accuracy of the state test?
I believe there were affidavits presented as well. But what the department argues is because other factors might play into determining which test is more reliable, such as the length of time between the blood draw and the analysis, the interim environment of the preserved sample, or the certification of the equipment. So those are all relevant factors to be considered by a hearing officer at a hearing. And at this hearing is when it's proper to determine not only the revocation determination, but the persistent drunk driver determination, although the statutes don't explicitly say that any law enforcement test with BAC results over 0.096, then the presumption applies. The statute itself, the 42.2.126 subsection 8E2, at the beginning of that, it says when an analysis of the respondent's BAC is considered at a hearing. So the department argues that extent, not only does that apply, it's not limited to the revocation determination, but it should extend to BAC findings, revocations, and sanctions.
But let me ask you a question. Let's assume that we accept your interpretation and that, gee, the wording of the statute suggests that the presumption applies to persistent drunk driving. Is that an absurd result to apply a presumption of correctness to anything over 0.096? When basically you're applying it to a finding that requires a minimum of 0.17. Isn't that an absurd result?
The department does not think so. Applying the presumption of accuracy to persistent drunk driver determination, it does not extend the revocation period of the driver. In this case, Garcia was subject to a 3-month revocation. The determination of him being a persistent drunk driver does not extend that revocation period, but for public safety concerns, if you're determined a persistent drunk driver, then you should hold a restricted license for 2 years. And again, it's for protection of the public. You're required to install an ignition interlock device in your vehicle as a condition of reinstatement. You're required to go to additional alcohol and drug education and therapy programs. And again, we are not making the 3-month revocation into 9 months or 1 year or 2 years. It's just that extra protection for the public because of the high BAC we're talking about, 0.08 is the minimum level to find a driver under the influence, and you're talking about a little over double the 0.08. In this case, it was 0.174. So that's very high, and the department does not consider that an absurd result because again, it's the presumption of accuracy of the police test.
I understand, but a presumption of accuracy that was initially created as a margin of error is now to be applied, in your view, to something which permits of no margin of error. In other words, according to your view, once you get over 0.096 and the conditions are shown, it is irrebuttable and unchallengeable that no other evidence can deflect or change the result of the state's test. It is unchallengeable, and that is not an absurd result.
It's not an absurd result. The legislature could have fixed that. In the motor vehicle statutes are amended almost every year, and had the legislature intended to restrict the revocation determination, or intended that the revocation determination not apply to persistent drunk driving determination, they could have stated that explicitly. Or in the definition of persistent drunk driver statute, they could have said something like, well, this is not an automatic, if this does not tie to the 42.2.126.
I recognize that the issue hasn't been raised in this case, but if, as you say, this is a rebuttable presumption, but the statute allows the driver to obtain other tests of the same specimen, do you see some due process problems here?
I don't know. I have to consult with revenue about that. I don't know, Your Honor. So if there are no further questions, I respectfully request the court to affirm a district court order, or alternatively to remand the case for further proceedings to make factual findings of a persistent drunk driver determination. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Deal?
Yes, just briefly, to clarify something that opposing counsel said, the hearing officer did not make any findings of fact, and I'm sure you're well aware that the state's test was more reliable than the other two tests. He just simply didn't address them. He just said it was he just didn't address them, even though he wrote a separate opinion. As I said in my briefs, this does lead to an absurd result, you know, 0.096 and 0.17. I just don't think the legislature intended for that to be. And I still say the presumption's rebuttable. True, the department is not treating it as rebuttable. That's basically my argument. Do you have any further questions?
Thank you, Ms. Steele.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Then the case of Garcia against Huber now stands submitted. We will issue an opinion in due course.